ॐ जननीं शरदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोश्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः. यस्टर्डे वी हैड डिस्कस्ड क्वाइट एलाबरेटली व्हाट इज यज्ञ अकॉर्डिंग टू दि भगवद्गीता. अवर होल लाइफ हैज टू बी ट्रांसफॉर्म्ड into a continual yajna. Another name for this yajna is progress. If we want to progress, yajna is the only way. So what is yajna? Give up what is lower for what is higher. By whichever means we can achieve this goal, that comes to be known as yajna. Today we are going to discuss about the next 8th quality. It is called tapaha. Tapas means usually is called austerity. So what does Shankara say? Tapaha vakshamanam shariradi. So tapas austerity, that is hardship concerning the body, etc., which will be stated in details in the next chapter, from the 17th chapter, 14th to 16th. Verses, 3 verses, 14, 15, 16. Now, before we start, I have to refer to this word tapas, austerity, that is the English translation, but it means much more. But the real meaning of tapas is deep thinking, and this is what the Upanishad is going to tell us, practically every Upanishad. But there is a very special Upanishad called Taittiriya Upanishad. And it has got 3 chapters called 3 vallis. Siksha valli, Ananda or Brahmananda valli or Brahma valli. And the last is called Bhrigu valli. Bhrigu was the spiritual aspirant and his father was a Noera Brahman. So the relationship is not father and son, but that of the earnest disciple approaching a realized soul. So approached his father and addressing him. Just take notice. Bhagavan, adhihi bhagavo brahma iti. Teach me, O Lord, about Brahman. Bhagavan means God. Bhagavan means the highest respect that can be given. That's why Ramana Maharshi was called Bhagavan. Thakur means Bhagavan. So he approached. So what did the father do? Father here, Guru, who turned into a Guru. Very interesting question. If his son was not fit to receive this, he would not have given that instructions. So he gives some preliminary hints. Because nobody can teach about Brahman. Brahman is not teachable. Because Brahman cannot be described. Any description should have to follow 5 types of worldly description. Not worldly, wordy description. Words. Rudhi, Jati, Kriya, Guna, Sambandha. A well-known fact to everybody. A species, an activity, a relationship, and a particular quality. Now Brahman does not fall because our 5 sense organs function only within these 5 categories. But since God is unlimited, infinite, so he cannot be taught. He can only be taught, but yet he has to be taught. Words cannot describe him, and yet we have to employ words to indicate at least. So that is what is said here, that the father says, certain hints he gives. Then what does he say? Tapasa brahma vijignasasva. My child, seek to know Brahman through tapas. Tapo brahmeti. Tapas itself is Brahman. And then the disciple took the advice, went satapo tapyata. he performed austerity, satapas tattva. Having done, he came to the realization, gradually, I am not the body, I am not the prana, I am not the mind, I am not the intellect, I am not the happiness, I am beyond all those things. So here, tapasya or austerity means deep contemplation until we know what is the truth. So what is tapasya? That which gives us right understanding, and right understanding comes only through deep rationality, deep contemplation. That's what it means. But as an aid to that deep thinking, so that we can develop the right type of discrimination, we can reduce our food, control our sense organs, etc., etc. But the real meaning of tapas, austerity, is to have right understanding. That's why the immortal prayer that we get in the Rig Veda, which was formulated thousands of years back, so famous all over the world, called Gayatri Mantra. Dhiyo Yonaha Prachodayat. May he grant us right understanding, and he is right understanding. That means may he sit in my heart, and then I will be illumined. So the Upanishads tell us that the Creator performed austerities before creating the world. This is another indication. The Upanishads tell us the God, he felt that he should create. Then what did he do? He went into deep contemplation. What is creation? What should be created? How it can be created, how it can be sustained, and how it can be again brought back into its original condition. How the effect should be resolved into the cause. So the Upanishads tells everybody has to perform austerities. Today, millions literally of devotees consider Sri Ramakrishna as an incarnation of God. And yet, he performed superhuman austerities to realize God. As we also know, at one point of time, Holy Mother had to go through the Panchagni tapasya. Panchagni means when the sun is blazing above, rise, sit amidst four blazing fires, not in winter, so that it will be comfortable. In summer season, when even the slightest heat is intolerable, unbearable, sit, light up four blazing fires and do not keep them at 1 mile distance, but quite near so that we can feel. These are the four fires, and then one above the sun, which is dazzling everybody, which is burning with tremendous power from sunrise to sunset without taking anything. Holy Mother had performed it on successively several days. That's why she said, ever since that time, my body has become old. There is a Swami Vivekananda performed tapasya. And then every direct disciple was merged. They used to get up at 3 o'clock and become merged, enjoying meditation. Even they would not get up for food. And then there is a beautiful incident. Swami Brahmanandaji was in Vrindavan performing indescribable austerities, hardships. So his brother disciple, Swami Subodhanandaji, who was sent to look after him, he asked, Maharaj, Sri Ramakrishna had given you everything. Why do you need to perform? Swami Brahmanandaji answered very succinctly, it is true, Sri Ramakrishna had given us, but we have to make it our own. If somebody gives it something to you, to me, I should know first of all what it is. I should know how to use it. I should know for what purpose it should be used. And I should be able to use it in the right way. And that's a great austerity. So that is what Maharaj has answered. And I just now mentioned in the Taittiriya Upanishad that Bhrigu, a spiritual aspirant, was advised by his father And here are the relevant mantras from the Taittiriya Upanishad. Adhihi Bhagavo Brahmeti. Bhagavan, O Lord, teach me about Brahman. Tasmat etat provacha. So, the guru, the teacher, they taught him this. Annam pranam chakshu srotram mano vachamiti. By whose power, without whose presence, the five sense organs cannot do their function properly. Tam hovacha. Yato va imani bhutani jayante. From where all these beings are born. That means you see the beings, you see the effects, but you do not see the cause. This maya covers a name and form and qualities is called maya. This maya covers the cause. Simple example, 1,000 ornaments can be made out of gold. You remove the gold, minus gold, there would be not only lifeless ornaments, but there would be absolutely no ornament. That means what? The ornaments, whether they are 100, 1,000, a billion, they are all nothing but pure gold, but a lump of gold, assuming a particular form, acquiring a particular name and used for a particular purpose. For example, a necklace, a bangle, a finger, a gold plate, a gold tumbler, a gold couch, a gold sofa, etc., etc. So, find out, the whole universe is nothing but an effect. Find out where from the universe has come and how is it is able to be sustained. Here the word used is not world, it is used as beings. Where from these beings are coming and how are they sustained, how are they maintained, and in the end, when death comes, where are they going to return? Always death means the cause returning to the effect, resolving itself into effect. Simple example, that if you break an ornament, it will remain as a shapeless gold. If you break a pot, it will be useless clay. So, yat prayanti avisamvishanti. Where do they return? So, the whole universe is run because of this cyclic process. There is ocean, and the Lord out of His grace lifts the water in the form of the sun, makes them vapor, carries them in the form of clouds to distant high places, mountains, releases them as pure water, distilled water, and then slowly they flow and they gather speed, volume, and becomes small streams, rivers, and ultimately they come back again to be lifted up. So whatever be the name, whatever be the quality, whatever be the volume, like this is a cyclic process. So also we have come from God, we live in God, and we return in God. As a great Sufi saint has said, that every spiritual aspirant starts his journey from God and progresses in God and ends by becoming one with God. That is the truth Varuna, this realized soul, is teaching his former son, who now became a spiritual aspirant. Tadvijignasasva, try to find out how, why, because tad brahmeti. The moment you find what is the cause, all your problems will be resolved. All differentiations will be resolved. There will be only even one. It is only human language. When there is one, as one, you cannot even utter because there is no body, there is no mind, etc. And what did this student do? Satapo tapyata. He performed intense austerities. And having then, slowly, from the individual to the cosmic, universal, from the body to the prana, because the cause of the body, this external body, is prana. It's only because of the prana the body is sustained. And the prana is sustained, maintained, because of the thought which is the mind. And the mind is made to function only because of the determination or the deciding factor called intellect. And the intellect works only for one reason, it wants to be happy whatever we do. Get rid of suffering and get more happiness. This is the knowingly, unknowingly everybody is doing, and when a person's journey stops, he doesn't require happiness, he becomes happiness itself. So, what does austerity mean? Deep contemplation, deep rational, discriminative thinking until the differentiation, first the effect is resolved into the cause, and the cause remains a cause, becomes a cause only when there is an effect. When there is no effect, the cause loses its causation, its very title, and remains what it was before, it is considered to be a cause. So, any type of creative expression, whether a person wants to create a new dish, or create a new painting, or create a new symphony, or resolve some problem, it's called creative always means higher expression of life, is the result of austerity. Nobody has ever become creative by just leading and what is called non-austere, easy-to-go life. Thus, we see that nothing great can be achieved without undergoing hardship. We hear of people fasting for days, observing silence for years, standing on one foot for a long time, flagellating themselves severely, especially some Christian sects. We even hear of yogis lying on a bed of nails. We mistake usually all these for austerities. Once a disciple asked Swami Brahmanandaji, Maharaj, what is austerity? And the Maharaj, Swami Brahmananda, answered, austerities are of many kinds. Once I saw a man who had taken a vow not to sit or lie down for 12 years. When I met him, only 5 or 6 months remained to complete these 12 years. Continuously standing for so many years has made his legs swell as they do in elephantiasis. When he slept, he held himself up by a rope. Some practice these austerities, and sometimes standing all night in deep cold water in the winter and at the same time performing japa. Again, there is the austerity of sitting in the blazing summer sun in the center of 4 fires, which I referred as Holy Mother doing. Maharaj, is that what austerity really is? Swami, Rama Rama, goodness gracious. Generally, men practice austerities with the expectation that in their next life, they may be born rich and find greater worldly enjoyments. Do they gain their wishes? God only knows. Remember God constantly. Remember Him when you eat, when you sit, when you lie down. Remember Him whatever you do. By such repeated practice, you will find that when you go to meditate, it will be easy to remember God and become absorbed in Him. As your mind becomes absorbed in meditation, a fountain of joy will spring up within you. Give no time to idle cares or idle talk. So what is austerity? Usually austerity is defined as an act of privation and hardship. But suffering caused by sickness, poverty or oppression, etc. cannot properly be called austerity. But any act undertaken for a noble purpose, especially for spiritual progress, and done voluntarily, and which involves some sort of privation and hardship and suffering, can be called austerity. But let us not forget, all these are helps in making us think rightly, deeply, and arrive at right knowledge. As mentioned earlier, austerity is unavoidable if one wants to achieve greatness in any field. But austerity should not be felt to be hardship. What does austerity do? It burns up evil tendencies and purifies the body and mind. But there are types of austerity. The Bhagavad Gita mentions 3 types of austerity. In the next chapter we will come across, pertaining to the body, speech and mind. These are very simply Deva Dvijaguru Pragna Pujanam ಶೌಚಂ ಆರ್ಜವಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಚರ್ಯಂ ಅಹಿಂಸಾ ಚ ಶಾರೀರಂ ತಪ ಉಚ್ಯತೆ. ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ವರ್ಷಿಪ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಗಾಡ್ಸ್, ದಿ ಟ್ವೈಸ್ ಬೋರ್ನ್, ದಿ ಪ್ರಿಸೆಪ್ಟರ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದಿ ವೈಸ್ ಪೀಪಲ್, ಮೇಂಟೈನಿಂಗ್ ಪ್ಯೂರಿಟಿ, ಸ್ಟ್ರೈಟ್ ಫಾರ್ವರ್ಡ್ನೆಸ್, ಕಾಂಟಿನೆನ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ನಾನ್ ಇಂಜುರಿ ಆರ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ದಿ ಆಸ್ಟೆರಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಬಾಡಿ. ದೆನ್ ಅನುದ್ವೇಗಕರಂ ವಾಕ್ಯಂ ಸತ್ಯಂ ಪ್ರಿಯ ಹಿತಂ ಚಯತ್ ಸ್ವಾಧ್ಯಾಯ ಅಭ್ಯಸನಂ ಚೈವ ವಾಂಗ್ಮಯಂ ತಪ ಉಚ್ಯತೆ. ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಿ ಆಸ್ಟೆರಿಟಿ ಇನ್ ಸ್ಪೀಕಿಂಗ್? ವಿ ಸ್ಪೆಂಡ್ ಸೋ ಮಚ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಐದರ್ ಇನ್ ಸ್ಪೀಕಿಂಗ್ ಆರ್ ಲಿಸನಿಂಗ್. ಈವನ್ ವೆನ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಎಲೋನ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಟಾಕಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಅವರ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಸೋ ಮಚ್. ಸ್ಪೀಚ್ ವಿಚ್ ಕಾಸಸ್ ನೋ ವೆಕ್ಸೇಷನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ವಿಚ್ ಈಸ್ ಟ್ರೂ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಎಗ್ರಿಯಬಲ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಇಂಪಾರ್ಟೆಂಟ್ ಬೆನಿಫಿಷಿಯಲ್ ಅಂಡ್ ರೆಗ್ಯುಲರ್ ಸ್ಟಡಿ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ವೇದಾಸ್, ದೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ಸೆಡ್ ಟು ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ದಿ ಆಸ್ಟೆರಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಸ್ಪೀಚ್. ದೆನ್ ವಾಟ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದಿ ಆಸ್ಟೆರಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಮೈಂಡ್? ಮನಃ ಪ್ರಸಾದ ಸೌಮ್ಯತ್ವಂ ಮೌನಂ ಆತ್ಮವಿನಿಗ್ರಹ ಭಾವ ಸಂಶುದ್ಧಿ ಇತ್ಯೇತ ತಪೋ ಮಾನಸ ಮುಚ್ಯತೆ. ಸೆರೆನಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಮೈಂಡ್, ಕೈಂಡ್ನೆಸ್, ಸೈಲೆನ್ಸ್, ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಕಂಟ್ರೋಲ್, ಆನೆಸ್ಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಮೋಟಿವ್, ದಿಸ್ ಈಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಮೆಂಟಲ್ ಆಸ್ಟೆರಿಟಿ. ಸೊ ಯು ಸಿ, ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ಲಿ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಟಾಕ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಫಿಸಿಕಲ್ ಆಸ್ಟೆರಿಟಿ, ಬಟ್ ರಿಯಲ್ ಆಸ್ಟೆರಿಟಿ ಈಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಔಟ್ಲೈನ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ದೀಸ್ 3 ವರ್ಸಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತಾ, ವಿಚ್ ವಿ ವಿಲ್ ಟಾಕ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಅಗೇನ್ ವೆನ್ ವಿ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ವಿ ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟ್ ದಿಸ್ 16th ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್. ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಿ ಪರ್ಪಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಸ್ಟೆರಿಟಿ? ದಿ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಪರ್ಪಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಸ್ಟೆರಿಟಿ ಈಸ್ ಟು ಮೇಕ್ ದಿ ಬಾಡಿ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದಿ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಫಿಟ್ ಇನ್ಸ್ಟ್ರೂಮೆಂಟ್ಸ್ ಕ್ಯಾಪಬಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಟೇಕಿಂಗ್ ಅಸ್ ಟು ಗಾಡ್. ಇಫ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಅಂಡರ್ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಹಾರ್ಡ್ಶಿಪ್ಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಪ್ರೈವೇಷನ್ಸ್ ಬಟ್ ದೇ ಆರ್ ನಾಟ್ ಮೇಕಿಂಗ್ ಅಸ್ ಪ್ಯೂರ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಆರ್ ನಾಟ್ ಲೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಅಸ್ ಟು ಗಾಡ್, ದೆನ್ ವಿ ಮಸ್ಟ್ ಸಸ್ಪೆಕ್ಟ್ ದಟ್ ದೇರ್ ಈಸ್ ಸಮಥಿಂಗ್ ಸೀರಿಯಸ್ಲಿ ರಾಂಗ್ ವಿತ್ ಅವರ್ ಮೋಟಿವ್. ಇಫ್ ಅವರ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಪರ್ಪಸ್ ಈಸ್ ಗಾಡ್ ರಿಯಲೈಸೇಷನ್, ದೆನ್ ವಿ ನೀಡ್ ನಾಟ್ ಗೋ ಟು ದಿ ಟಾಪ್ ಆಫ್ ಎ ಮೌಂಟೇನ್ ಆರ್ ಇನ್ ಟು ಡೀಪ್ ಫಾರೆಸ್ಟ್ ಇನ್ಫೆಸ್ಟೆಡ್ ವಿತ್ ವೈಲ್ಡ್ ಲೈಫ್. ಲೈಫ್ ಎಫರ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಅಸ್ ಇನಫ್ ಆಪರ್ಚುನಿಟಿ ಟು ಪ್ರಾಕ್ಟೀಸ್ ಮೋರ್ ದೆನ್ ಅವರ್ ಶೇರ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಸ್ಟೆರಿಟಿ. ಐ ವಿಲ್ ನ್ಯಾರೇಟ್ ಟು ಯು ಒನ್ ಆಫ್ ಮೈ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸಸ್. ವೆನ್ ಐ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಅರೈವ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ UK, ಮೈ ಪ್ರೆಡಿಸೆಸರ್ ಇಸ್ ಎ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಮ್ಯಾನ್, ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಭವ್ಯಾನಂದ, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಇನ್ ಅವರ್ ಸೆಂಟರ್, ವೇದಾಂತ ಸೆಂಟರ್ ಇನ್ UK, ದೆರ್ ವಾಸ್ ಎ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಹೂ ಇಸ್ ಟು ಗಿವ್ ಟೆರಿಬಲ್ ಟ್ರಬಲ್ ಟು ಎವ್ರಿಬಡಿ, ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ಲಿ ಟು ದಿಸ್. ದೆನ್ ಒನ್ಸ್ ಅವರ್ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ವೆಂಟ್ ಟು ಅನದರ್ ಬುದ್ಧಿಸ್ಟಿಕ್ ಮೊನಾಸ್ಟ್ರಿ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೆರ್ ವಾಸ್ ಎ ವೆರಿ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಬುದ್ಧಿಸ್ಟ್ ಮಾಂಕ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಈ ಆಸ್ಕ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ಕೋರ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಕನ್ವರ್ಸೇಷನ್, ಡು ಯು ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಹಾರ್ಡ್ ಟು ಬೇರ್ ಇಂಡಿವಿಜುವಲ್ಸ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಹೋಮ್ ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಸಫರ್ ಮೋರ್? ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ದಟ್ ಬುದ್ಧಿಸ್ಟ್ ಮಾಂಕ್ ಸ್ಮೈಲ್ಡ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಹೀ ರಿಪ್ಲೈಡ್ ಟು ಹಿಮ್, ಗಾಡ್ ಔಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಇನ್ಫಿನಿಟ್ ಮರ್ಸಿ ಪ್ರೊವೈಡ್ಸ್ ಅಸ್ ಇನಫ್ ಆಪರ್ಚುನಿಟೀಸ್ ಟು ಪ್ರಾಕ್ಟೀಸ್ ಆಸ್ಟೆರಿಟಿ, ಮೀನಿಂಗ್ ದೇ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ನಾಟ್ ಒನ್ ಬಟ್ ಕ್ವೈಟ್ ಗುಡ್ ನಂಬರ್ ಆಫ್ ಪೀಪಲ್. ಸೊ ಯು ಲುಕ್ ಅಪ್ ಅರೌಂಡ್ ಯು ಫ್ಯಾಮಿಲಿ ಮೆಂಬರ್ಸ್, ಕುಡ್ ಬಿ ಹಸ್ಬೆಂಡ್, ವೈಫ್, ಅನ್ರೀಸನಬಲ್ ಪೇರೆಂಟ್ಸ್, ಅನ್ರೀಸನಬಲ್ ಚಿಲ್ಡ್ರನ್, ಈವನ್ ಬೇಬೀಸ್. ಸಮ್ ಬೇಬೀಸ್ ದೇ ಆರ್ ಬೋರ್ನ್ ಎಸ್ ಇಫ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಟು ಟ್ರಬಲರ್ಸ್, ಗೋ ಆನ್ ಕ್ರೈಯಿಂಗ್ ಡೇ ಅಂಡ್ ನೈಟ್, ವಾಟ್ ಎವರ್ ದಿ ಮದರ್ ಡಸ್ ಇಟ್ ವಿಲ್ ನಾಟ್ ಸ್ಪೆಸಿಫೈ ಹಿಮ್. ದಿ ಮದರ್ಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಅ ಸೋರ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ವೆರಿ ಟ್ರೈಯಿಂಗ್ ಟೈಮ್. ಸಮಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ದೇ ಗೋ ಮ್ಯಾಡ್, ದೇ ಫೀಲ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಡ್ಯಾಶಿಂಗ್ ದಿ ಚೈಲ್ಡ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಕಮ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಟ್ರೈಡ್ ಟು ಡೂ ಟು ದಿ ಸಿಸ್ಟರ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಲೈಕ್ ದಟ್. ಸೊ ದೇರ್ ಆರ್ ಡಿಫ್ರೆಂಟ್ ಟೈಪ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಆಸ್ಟೆರಿಟೀಸ್. ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಇಟ್? ಟು ಕಾಮ್ಲಿ ಪುಟ್ ಅಪ್ ವಿತ್ ಸಿಕ್ನೆಸ್, ಡಿಸ್ಕಂಫರ್ಟ್, ಇನ್ಕ್ಲಿಮೆಂಟ್ ವೆದರ್, ಟ್ರಾಫಿಕ್ ಜಾಮ್ಸ್ ಈಸ್ ಎನ್ ಆಸ್ಟೆರಿಟಿ. ಟು ಲಿವ್ ವಿತ್ ಹೋಪ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಆಪ್ಟಿಮಿಸಮ್ ಅಂಡರ್ ಅಡ್ವರ್ಸ್ ಸರ್ಕಮ್ಸ್ಟೆನ್ಸಸ್ ಈಸ್ ಅನದರ್ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಆಸ್ಟೆರಿಟಿ. ಟು ಲಿವ್ ಇನ್ ಹಾರ್ಮೋನಿ ವಿತ್ ಅದರ್ಸ್, ವೆದರ್ ಎಟ್ ದಿ ಆಫೀಸ್, ಇನ್ ಸೊಸೈಟಿ ಆರ್ ಎಟ್ ಹೋಮ್ ಈಸ್ ಎ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಆಸ್ಟೆರಿಟಿ. ಗಿವಿಂಗ್ ಅಪ್ ಅನ್ನೆಸೆಸರಿ ಟಾಕ್, ಹಾರ್ಮ್ಫುಲ್ ಆಕ್ಟಿವಿಟೀಸ್, ಫಾಲ್ಟ್ ಫೈಂಡಿಂಗ್, ಎಂಟರ್ಟೈನಿಂಗ್ ನೆಗೆಟಿವ್ ಥಾಟ್ಸ್, ಕಂಟ್ರೋಲಿಂಗ್ ಫುಡ್ ಆರ್ ಸಮ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ವಂಡರ್ಫುಲ್ ಆಸ್ಟೆರಿಟೀಸ್. ಟು ಲವ್ ಗಾಡ್, ಟು ಪ್ರಾಕ್ಟೀಸ್ ರೆಗ್ಯುಲರ್ಲಿ ಜಪ, ಮೆಡಿಟೇಷನ್, ಸ್ಟಡಿ ಆಫ್ ಹೋಲಿ ಸ್ಕ್ರಿಪ್ಚರ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ವೆರಿ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಆಸ್ಟೆರಿಟೀಸ್. If we look around, we can find many opportunities for the practice of austerity. All that we need to do is to sit and ask ourselves, how can I practice austerity? As I said, it is plenty of opportunities will be there. Every person who seems to bear terrible animosity, dislike, etc. towards us, and to put up with them without really taking revenge or thinking negative thoughts, etc. That is the greatest austerity. In later years, Swami Brahmananda used to say, it is easy to practice physical austerities by not allowing the mind to come into contact with sense objects, but it is extremely hard to get rid of the mental craving itself. This mind of ours deludes us in many ways. We must control it and direct it along the right path. So what is austerity? It is to direct the mind towards God in order to taste divine bliss. And then Maharaj says, in this age, it is not necessary to practice many physical austerities, such as standing on your head. The path in this age is to create a deep desire to chant the Lord's name, to be compassionate towards all beings, and to serve holy men. Real austerity consists in the control of the passions. But a little physical austerity is very good. The great Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said something so important, taught us something so important. It seems very easy to take God's name. But he says, who is a fit person to take God's name? This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's only extant work known to us is a small hymn consisting of 8 verses called Sikshastakam. He wrote a big book on Nyaya, but threw it away because his fellow student was also writing, and after seeing Chaitanya's work, he wept. After reading your book, nobody will even look at my book. Chaitanya said, that's all. What is so great? And he threw that book into the Ganges just to encourage his brother student. So, real austerity, a little physical austerity is a little bit good. For example, fasting, say, once in a month, once in a fortnight, or eating only limited type of food, etc. Not only it is an austerity, it is actually very selfish activity, because the people are now doing tremendous austerity if we look at it properly. I have seen people at 4:30 putting on thin clothing in winter season, jogging, men as well as women. I myself would not have done that. To bear that cold and to go on jogging in that cold and getting up in that early morning. And now, of course, so many people, especially the women, for the sake of appearance, they want to become as thin as possible. They are performing amazingly all sorts of food control. Sometimes months together, they will only drink either vegetable juice or leaf juice or just some juices, etc., so that they will appear nice, they will appear attractive. Is that austerity? I'm only joking. That is not real austerity, because it has a deep selfish desire. I want to be attractive. I want people to look at me. I want to become a public person like that. So, what is real austerity? This is from Eternal Companion. Maharaj is telling, real austerity is based upon these 3 principles. 3 principles. First, take refuge in the truth. Truth is the pillar to which you must always cling while performing any action. Second, conquer lust. Third, renounce cravings. Observe these 3 principles. That is real austerity. And the greatest of these is to conquer lust. So, I have talked enough about tapasya. But if you look around, you don't specially need to perform particular activities to put up with other people and to think of God and to do whatever we do with the greatest concentration, energy, etc., and to surrender to God with the greatest austerity. Then the next one we are going to talk about is Arjava. A beautiful word. Arjava means straightforwardness. You know, Arjavam Rujutvam Sarvada. Sarvada, all the time. From the time we know what to do, what not to do, we assume responsibility for ourselves until we become unconscious near death. We must practice austerity. And Arjavam. What is Arjavam? Straightforwardness. Simplicity. These two words perhaps describe this ninth quality called Arjavam. So what is Arjavam? Rectitude, straightforwardness at all times. And when we look at the life of any sage, Ramakrishna was an embodiment of purity and straightforwardness. Straightforwardness is one more quality Bhagavan Krishna advises all spiritual aspirants to acquire. Straightforwardness is an indispensable virtue which must be practiced by all the aspirants desirous of realizing God. Everyone loves babies. We all love babies. Why do we love? Because they have not yet learnt. Don't think that they will remain like that. Very, very few of them will remain simple like that. Sri Ramakrishna was one of them. Swami Vivekananda was one of them. Holy Mother was one of them. In fact, every saint, every sage is a straightforward person. Otherwise, they cannot become saints. So why do we love babies? Because they live their life what the modern psychologists call an authentic life. What's an authentic life? If a person feels like laughing, he laughs. If he feels like weeping, he weeps. That means expressing whatever his mind is feeling at the moment without any attempt to hide it. And so that others will know. They can read. When a person is straightforward, you know what happens? Everybody loves a straightforward person. But there is a caveat here. We have to know. There are some persons and they want to be straightforward persons, but they speak so harshly and they behave so roughly that it is very difficult to put up with them. No, here is a person very sweet, always thinking of only the other's welfare, and but at the same time there is nothing for such a person to hide. So that is why we all love babies, because they are innocent, pure and guileless. This word guilelessness is the one of the closest translations of this word, Arjava. Unlike us who practice hypocrisy most of the time, often in the name of etiquette and good manners. For example, many times I told you, when somebody comes who is not desired, whom we do not like to come, it could be relatives, it could be friends, we cannot avoid them, or it could be boss or office people with whom we have to work, and then we put up a broad smile and say, oh, I am so glad you gave me a great surprise, all the while cursing why this Saturn, Shani Graha, has come at this time. I was about to enjoy a book, I was about to enjoy nice food, I was about to watch a nice movie, and this fellow had spoiled everything. This fellow's blah blah, I have to waste my time. So many times. Of course, as I said, sometimes we cannot avoid it. But at the same time, we have to observe these things. So long as we are in the world, only monks and nuns are free from it if they want to be. Even sometimes they are also not free. You know what I mean? Suppose there is a monastery and there is a junior monk and there is a senior monk who is craving for power, position, scheming all the time, talks one thing and thinks another thing, does completely, totally different, and nobody can predict what this person is going to do. This kind of people we come across everywhere, even in monasteries. And then the junior monk, if he straightforward says this and this, then most likely he will have to undergo terrible suffering. Remember what happened to Saint Teresa of Avila. I remember a wonderful incident in her life. Christ used to appear to her and talk with Saint Teresa of Avila, not Saint Teresa of Lisieux. So this Saint Teresa of Avila used to talk. And once Christ said, you have to reform our church, rebuild my church. It took some time for her to understand, not rebuilding means not building, but to bring about a right reform. That means what? It was deformed. It was degenerated. And then she took in earnest. She was frail in health from the very beginning. And she had to walk. There were a few very faithful companions with her. Wherever she went, she encountered terrible difficulties, both from laymen as well as lay people, as well as a brother monks, because once accustomed to this luxury, even monks and nuns were averse to give them up so easily. And here comes a person upsetting the whole lot and trying to make them practice simplicity and austerity. That was not to their liking at all. They created a lot of problems. So one day Saint Teresa turned to Christ and said, Lord, how come you only commanded me and instead of helping me, you are creating more problems for me? And then sweet Jesus smiled sweetly and replied, thus I treat my friends. Quick as an arrow came the retort from Saint Teresa. Now I know why you have so few friends. If you are going to treat your own friends in this way, I wonder how many people will remain friends with you. So everybody has to go through, even religious organizations. Some religious organizations, which we all are terribly aware at this moment, they want their power crazy and their ideas of God are imposed upon God. The poor God has no power but to accept their ideas. I mean, that is what people think. These ideas are coming from God and inflicting so much of injury, bloodshed, killing people, maiming people, suppressing, oppressing people, and all in the name of God, all in the name of scripture, etc. So, why am I talking all these things? It is a most important thing to acquire what is called arjivam, straightforwardness. But it is not the straightforwardness of a fool. This is the straightforwardness of one of the greatest, wisest sages in this world. So foolishness and devotion do never go together. Sri Ramakrishna used to warn, if you want to be a devotee, on that account, you need not be a fool. Bhakta hole boka ho bikena. So during the time of his sadhana, Sri Ramakrishna used to keep the company of small children. By observing them, he wanted to learn and imitate their purity, innocence and detachment. Straightforwardness, the opposite of guile, deceit, crookedness, hypocrisy, etc. It is very close to truthfulness. To be frank, to think, speak, and act with one accord is straightforwardness. To make the mind, speech, and action one is straightforwardness. And Sri Ramakrishna very interestingly gave the definition of truth. Truth is to make the thought, word, speech, and action into one. Straightforwardness also means uprightness. Only those who lead a righteous life can really become straightforward, for they will then have nothing to hide or to be afraid of. Here the law of karma comes. What is the law of karma? A righteous person reaps righteous fruits, and so the unrighteous. But there are many aspirants who are sincere and pure. Unfortunately, some of them are too outspoken, often hurting and creating problems both for themselves and others. The case of Golappa A woman disciple of Sri Ramakrishna comes to mind. Many times Holy Mother, Sri Sharada Devi, warned her to be careful and not to speak out harshly. Of course, she did not heed and had to suffer as a result. There are few of us who can claim we are straightforward. Apparently, we may feel sometimes we are being straightforward, but often it may turn out to be a case of pure rashness. A rash or impulsive way of speaking is not definitely a sign of straightforwardness. I have come across people who have become positively proud and egoistic because they delude themselves that they are straightforward. They are in the habit of speaking out whatever comes to their mouth while failing to realize they are rash, harsh, and unthinking. In many cases, they are not even sincere. Their practice of frank speaking hides a great deal of selfishness and pride. Even a little observation makes it clear that our mind beguiles us often, and we are not even aware of it. What is the proof of it? Just look. More than 40 to 50% of people in the world are mentally sick. What is mental sickness? Thinking that we are right, but all the while being completely the opposite. And why are we not aware of it? Because in the depths of our unconscious, we are unable to resolve the conflict between different complexes. So we have to take the help of psychologists, psychiatrists, and then they point out that not a new truth, but that which is what is called pestering us, bothering us, boiling in our unconscious, but sends the poisonous fumes outward, because of which we are not happy at all. So, developing a great deal of very rational, what is called insightfulness, discrimination, observation is very, very important. So, if really people think that they are simple, if this were the case, all poor people would be simple people. What is simplicity? Simplicity is a great virtue. It is the result of conquering desires and depending solely on God. Because a simple person depends for everything on God, he has nothing to hide or fear. Hence, he can afford to be straightforward. Such straightforwardness not only does not harm anybody, it often helps both oneself and others go forward towards God. So, straightforwardness leads the way to true faith. Sri Ramakrishna says, unless one is guileless and broad-minded, one cannot have deep faith. A guileless man easily realizes God. He who can resign himself to the will of the Almighty with simple faith and guileless love realizes the Lord very quickly. But is it so easy to be guileless? Unless one practices spiritual disciplines for many lives, only then one can become guileless. So Sri Ramakrishna says, one cannot be guileless and liberal-minded without much austerity, or unless it is one's last birth. Just remember this. Only in the last birth before God realization, one can really become straightforward, simple, guileless, and liberal-minded. When a man has performed many good actions in his previous births, in the final birth, he becomes guileless. Unless a man is guileless, he cannot so easily have faith in God. This is one of the greatest things. Do you have faith in God? How much percentage? If our faith in God is 10%, then we have to understand that our simplicity, our guilelessness is exactly 10%. Even practice of spiritual disciplines makes one unworldly. Even a trace of worldliness does not allow one to be straightforward or guileless. That's why any practice of spiritual disciplines can slowly, it may take time, but definitely will surely make us really unworldly. That is, we will not have attachment towards worldly objects. Again, Sri Ramakrishna says, the worldly man is a hypocrite. He cannot be guileless. He professes to love God, but he is attracted by worldly objects. He doesn't give God even a very small part of the love he feels for lust and gold. But he says that he claims, professes that he loves God. One cannot be guileless without a great deal of spiritual discipline in previous births. Spiritual instruction produces quick results only in a guileless heart. Unless a man is guileless, he doesn't receive the grace of God. Now I am going to give a few quotations from great Sufi masters. There was a great Sufi master. Many were there. One was Bayazid. He was a great Sufi master. He advises us that a believer be straightforward and completely humble as a servant. But according to him, straightforwardness is the last step on a three-step stairway leading to nearness of God. So what does he say? Here this is what he says. First, the first step is consistency, where a traveler strives to embody Islam's theoretical and practical dimensions. Success in this continuous effort without minding the occasional slips and failures brings one's carnal self under control. Simple words, mind will be purified, mind comes under control. Second, the second step is settlement or tranquility, where an initiate purifies his or her inner self of the vices contaminating the spirit and heart. For example, show, fame, vanity, all of which cannot be reconciled with servanthood, thereby purging the heart of all that's not God. The third step is straightforwardness. To straightforwardness is where the doors of divinity and creation are slightly open to the traveler, slightly open, and the divine gifts are bestowed in the form of wonder working, miracles, and blessings, although he or she neither desires nor seeks them. Straightforwardness is the last station of the way, means living without deviation from loyalty to God and under his direct protection. It's an environment in which divine gifts and favors are bestowed. Flowers never fade away, and hills and slopes do not experience winter, for it is an environment of eternal spring. This is what is pointed out in, if only they were straightforward on the path, then assuredly, God is telling, we would give them to drink of water in abundance. So long as people pursue straightforwardness on the path of belief in divine unity and fulfill their covenants with God and his messenger by fulfilling the divine ordinances, divine gifts and bounties will flow abundantly. Divine gifts and bounties will flow abundantly. Another Sufi master declares, so long as the heart of a servant is not sound and straight, his belief cannot be true and upright. So long as his tongue is not true, his heart cannot be sound and straight. Every morning, the parts of a man's body warn his tongue, saying, fear God concerning us. For if you are true, we will be true and straight. If you are crooked, we will also deviate from that. So straightforwardness takes one to God quickly. It is the royal and a straight road. This is all about Arjavam, the ninth quality. Arjavam, straightforwardness. Wonderful. Then we move on to the tenth quality called Ahimsa. Ahimsa is non-injury. Himsa means injury. Ahimsa is non-injury. In Sanskrit, there is a beautiful proverb, Ahimso Paramo Dharmaha. Ahimsa is the greatest spiritual practice. In fact, it is said, when a person becomes God-realized in his presence, even enemies become subdued and they behave as though they are lifelong friends. There is a beautiful, memorable incident is told in the life of Shankaracharya himself. He was looking forward in South India where to establish a monastery where his teachings can be propagated by his disciples sitting there. So he was searching for a right place. And when he came to the Sringeri, the one of the branches he founded there, then at his time, it was all an empty land. Suddenly he came across, it was summer, it was blazing hot. Guess what happened? A female pregnant frog was giving birth to a baby, and it was feeling the terrible fire of the sun's heat. Suddenly from nowhere, a cobra came, spread its hood, and started protecting, giving shade to this pregnant frog. And then what happened, we don't know. The frog has given birth, and then the must have thanked the snake, and the snake must have gone away. When Shankaracharya beheld this sight, he understood this is the right place, because when two eternally born arch enemies could behave in this way, helping each other, instead of swallowing, the snake is protecting. So then this place must be endowed with natural greatness. By the way, I have to tell you, every place is not the same. There are places which are naturally very holy and uplifts the mind automatically. That is how great people have found out great places, and after that they became great places of pilgrimage. This is what is called Tirtha. So one such incident was, once a sage was passing through Himalayas and he came to a place, and then he saw a huge boulder, and then he sat down upon it. Immediately his mind started rising up and thinking only of God. He came down, and then his mind came down. Again he sat on that boulder, and again his mind started going up. He understood a great soul must have performed a great austerity here and realized God, and that's why this place has acquired such holy spiritual vibrations. So if anybody sits upon it, of course, a stupid fellow, a cruel fellow sits upon it, he is not going to get the benefit. But anybody with a little bit of purity of mind and with prayer in his heart, if he sits, immediately many obstacles will be automatically removed. That's why we are advised to go and join holy company, so that in the holy company, our minds can go forward without any problem. Go upward, in fact. Such is the power of spiritual vibrations. So that place later on became one of the most holiest place for all Hindus. This is called Kedarnath. Kedarnath. So, the straightforwardness takes one to God quickly, but ahimsa is automatically a quality that must follow. What is ahimsa? Injury. What is ahimsa? Non-injury. Buddha had preached this particular quality too much about it. Non-injury means abstinence from causing any pain or harm whatsoever to any living creature, either by thought, word, or deed. Swami Vivekananda is the greatest authority for us. He says, never producing pain by thought, word, or deed in any living being is what is called ahimsa, non-injury. There is no virtue higher than non-injury. There is no happiness higher than what a man obtains by this attitude of non-offensiveness to all creation. There is a beautiful incident. There was a great Jewish teacher. Once a non-Jewish person went there, or it could be even a Jewish person, and asked, I don't have time to delve into these volumes of this Jewish literature, spiritual literature. I want to know what is Judaism in simple words. Rabbi said, I also have no time to explain to you, but I will give the essence in one single line. Do unto others what you wish others to do unto you. If you follow this, you have understood the whole essence of Judaism. The rest is commentary. So, Swami Vivekananda says, here is something most important. The test of ahimsa is absence of jealousy. How do we know that we do not have jealousy? Even spiritual people are highly jealous. How many spiritual aspirants, they fall down by the roadside because they are smitten with this problem of jealousy. That's why Swami Vivekananda describing the natural impurities of the mind, and he compares the mind to a special monkey. He says, this is just my summarization, not actual words. The mind is restless like a monkey. Suppose there is a monkey and it is naturally restless. That is the nature of our mind. Then it is drunk. Then it is stung by a scorpion. And then it is possessed by a demon. Now who can describe the immense restlessness or harm that can be caused by that type of monkey? By nature it is restless. And what is it drunk with? Desires. How many desires? Infinite, almost infinite desires. And what is it stung with? The sting of a scorpion. What is that scorpion? The scorpion of jealousy. He cannot tolerate other people. How many people are killed because they cannot tolerate the goodness, greatness of other people? I know of a great musician who had been murdered by her fellow musicians because they could not compete in any way. Such was the natural sweetness of her voice that they employed some low caste person to kill this lady at night. He came, entered into the house and knifed her, died. This is one instance. So many instances are there. Millions, almost all of us. Only this jealousy disappears only when we approach God. In the presence of God, just as all darkness is driven away, only the real presence of God drives away this last vestige of Maya, which is called jealousy. So that's why he says, the test of ahimsa. Are you a non-injurious person? So don't go on looking. I don't kill any animal. I am pure vegetarian. I eat only pure milk, drink pure milk, and then vegetables and leafy vegetables, drink pure water. No. Are you free from jealousy? When you find the other person being praised by other people, given more attention than they give to you, do you feel a sting? Whether another person speaks better than you, do you feel a sting? Another person sings better than you, do you feel a sting? Then definitely you are not rid of it. Definitely you are not a great person. This is a beautiful statement, and about this quality called non-injury, we will speak next week. Om Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kamsa Chanura Martanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagat Gurum. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.